And welcome to Reasons to be Joyful. The season is upon us, and what better way to start celebrating December than with the sprinkling of Christmas joy in the form of Jo Wicks. Yes, the body coach, the author, the TV presenter, that Jo Wicks. Here he is, and we do hope you enjoy it. Now, give me a press up. Go.
Yeah.
Jo Wicks, you and I are sitting here face to face, and you are in my bedroom every night and every morning. Should we explain that?
Yeah, what am I doing in your bloody bedroom every night of the week?
So, you and I have... we've chatted many, many times, and I'm going to remind you of something really, really a long time ago. We will explain why you're in my bedroom every morning and night. We'll explain to your wife as well. Don't worry. But many, many moons ago, you were Jo Wicks, body coach, and you came onto my radio show and we were chatting and you said, oh, I really know what I want to do. I want to get everybody fit. I want to get into schools. I want any age to join in. And I said, oh, this is really going to take off. This is great. I love the whole idea of it. And then the next time I spoke to you, there was not one person in the world that didn't know you. And it was, you said to me in that, the next time we chatted, you said, do you know what? I think you were one of the first people who ever interviewed me. And now look, I feel like a very proud auntie.
Yeah, you've literally been at the start from the whole journey. You've seen me become a husband, a parent. You know, I had no kids back then. This is like just me doing the Lean in 15 videos, wasn't it?
Yes. And Chris Evans was another one that the two of us, I remember even he and I talking about you. And we just knew it because you're anybody, you're everybody. And that's why it works. And then obviously through the pandemic, you kept everybody going. And that was that's a heavy load on your shoulders in some ways, isn't it?
Well, look, thank you for being so positive. And you've always supported my career. And I love you for that. And even on social media, you've always been encouraging and, you know, celebrating little moments with me. So thank you so much for that. And the Pee with Joan lockdown thing was a moment where I was kind of working on that vision of, you know, getting people moving, getting kids exercising. I really thought it was going to take me 10, 15, 20 years of like, campaigning and doing tours and everything. Obviously then in that one moment in time, it's like everybody was there in their houses, kind of had no choice, you know. And so it's a negative time, but also a positive thing came out of it, because I really did get people moving. I got families for the first time, you know, with their kids exercising, and it was like a positive moment in a difficult time, I think.
But also what was so lovely, and I know this from our own house, that my kids' cousins live in Switzerland, and they were working out at the same time together with you. And I found that really emotional. Actually, that's really weird. It's just made me... It's so weird, that time. It's like a weird time warp that didn't sort of happen. But that was so special that my younger daughter, who's so close to her youngest cousin, that they were together, doing something together, thanks to you.
Yeah, you know what? When you talk about that emotion, I can also feel the same. If I think about the feelings and when it ended, and it does bring back that sense of kind of... it was just such an uncertain time, wasn't it? And I was also, I was very proud of what I'd achieved in that moment. But yeah, you know, it was lovely seeing families in the UK with, you know, their families in, even in Australia, like people were doing it in mad time zones, you know, doing it in the middle of the night in America and stuff. So I saw a lot of that where people were doing the Zooms and the kind of FaceTimes and doing it in real time in their pajamas or in their fancy dress Friday outfits. And it brought people together. It was a routine. It was something they could look forward to. And I always thank everyone that took part, because it also helped me get through the lockdown. You know, it was my therapy. It was giving me like a focus every day. And it got me through. You know, I distracted myself. I just worked through it. And at the end of it, I was like, wow, we've just been through a pandemic. And I kind of was just really grateful that I had something to focus on that was really positive with my time.
You're so open about how you feel. So you're open, obviously, physically, but you're even more open about your mental health and the struggles that you've had and ongoing. And I think that the more people talk about it, the better. And your new book, Feel Good in 15, this is workouts, this is health hacks, it's recipes, it's good for our mind, body and soul as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and we share the same publisher as well, which is wonderful, isn't it?
We do, they're lovely.
We're in the same group. But yeah, I'm really proud of this book. It's my 12th book, which seems mad.
12?
When you think about, you know, Lean in 15 back in the day was like 2015. So 12 books in just under 8 years is pretty crazy.
That's incredible.
I bang them out, don't I? I knock them out. but I've had a little bit of a break. It's been a year and a half since I released another book. And this is really about the evolution of what I believe and all the kind of things that I never used to talk about. I would never talk about, you know, the importance of sleep, mental health, gut health, things that I'm learning on the way. And I'm sure you've, you know, been, you know, in kind of investigating and learning about new things as you've gone along. And it's little moments where you think, well, I need to share that, because it's so important to understand that what I think is common knowledge, a lot of people don't know. So I'm sharing things around sleep, how that affects our mood, our, you know, our gut health with certain foods. And so it's really about food in 15, you know, workouts and sort of mobility routines in 15 minutes. And then those little lifestyle hacks and things you can do as a family that are like non-screen activities, things that get you away from the phone, away from technology. And it's little things, little daily wins that can make a massive difference on your mental health.
That's very interesting. You said about, you didn't just say workout. So I know you, there's a lovely thing you put on your Instagram a couple of months ago where you were with elderly people and you just walked in and you chatted to them. And it's for everybody. And it's not just about, oh, let's get muscle bound. This is, you know, we were talking before we started recording about people with dementia really working on their core and movement, because it's, you should do it at all ages and no matter your mental ability either.
100%. So that's a video you're talking about when I was in Ireland. I was doing a schools tour and I got a message from someone saying my grandma and her neighbour do your workout. So it was Cecilia and Paddy. They came along there, surprised me at this school. And when I walked over to him, I was like, oh, how are you doing? What are you up to? That? Oh, we've done your workout every single day. You're in our lives. We do the senior workouts 10 minutes a day, every day for 3 years. And I was so inspired by that. I shared it because I thought, you know, it just goes to show that you don't need to be doing really high intensity workouts. Or you don't need to be like young and fit and in the gym doing things. Like, movement is medicine, whether you're, you know, and they were, by the way, they were 89 years old.
Fantastic.
So, you know, for a 2-year-old child who's doing a little bit of movement in the living room or bedroom, and a grandparent doing it on a chair, like it's all so positive for our mood, for our energy. And it, you know, especially in the world we live in, there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of negative energy, and the world feels like it's falling apart sometimes. And I think sometimes you've got to use exercise as a way to release some of those emotions that you might be feeling, and that anger or that resentment. And that's really something that children and adults need to be aware of. And you know, like a lot of things around exercise, it's always about weight loss, it's about body image, it's always about changing the way you feel, and it's changing the way you look, and it's a punishment, right? But actually, exercise is a beautiful gift that we can use.
It's a joy.
Yeah, it's a joy, exactly.
When you find it. So I'm somebody who was never very fit at school, and I couldn't touch my toes and all of those things. But I found the thing that was right for me, which was little dumbbells and going to the gym and moving. And I thought, oh, I'm moving. Oh, I can do this. I can touch my, I can, whatever it is. And when you find the thing that's right for you, and what you do with all of your workouts and with all of your recipes and all of your books, you don't say my way is the only way. How about trying this? How about trying this? Whether you're young, you're old, whether you have any disabilities, because I know my friend with her child who has cerebral palsy, they do your workouts together. They move together and he loves it. So no, there's no, it's not about being muscle bound and look how good I can wear a crop top and look at, you know, it's not about that, is it?
I think, yeah, I just think in the last few years, the narrative's changed and the motivation's changed. I think, you know, like with myself and a lot of other trainers, we are talking about mental health. We are talking about the mental health benefits of movement. And it's not just about the physical changes you might see on the outside. And I think that's a nice thing, because people have always associated with fitness with, you know, it's PE and it's tough and I hate it at school and I'm going to hate it as an adult. But there's so many ways to move, and I always say that movement is medicine, and that you never regret,
love that.
You never
I
regret
love
a workout,
that.
Do you? So it's about doing little and often and fitting it into your day. And this is why the book's really about, you know, what can you do today? If you have a stressful life and you think, oh, I just don't want to exercise today, you might say, right, I'm going to find 15 minutes to do some gratitude journaling, or to listen to a podcast, or go for a walk, listen to some music. You know, there's loads of little things you can do that actually still give you that little boost, that aren't so, that don't require such an energy input, you know. And that's why I'm trying to promote with the book, really.
Okay, so every morning I get up and I will explain why you're in my bedroom in the morning and at night. So I take my shot of probiotic that I have in the morning, and for 10 minutes, you can't have anything else. In that 10 minutes, I do your 10-minute abs. And I love it. And it's just something that I do. I don't think about it. I just do. And it's there on my phone. I get on the floor, put my mat out, and then I do my squats afterwards. And my 50 squats, if I don't do my 50 squats in the morning, I don't feel good. Now, I told somebody about this recently, and I said, this is what I do. And they said, oh, that's so much pressure. I said, no, if you start doing it, they've started doing it, and they say, oh, I didn't realise it was so easy. And it's, I mean, I spout you every, in my book, I talk about you. And I just say that it's those, it's easier than you think, especially if you can do it 15 minutes. That's not a big time out of our day.
What I love about that is that, you know, it's that little routine that you're in. And I was actually doing that when I was on the road in Ireland. I was just getting up and doing, you know, I was doing 50 press-ups and sort of 50 crunches. And even though it's such a small little amount of time, it only took me like, say, 10 minutes probably, in sets of 10. But I felt like, you know, I've done something. I had my shower and it just gets you off to a positive start. And it's something that's low friction. There's nothing stopping you. Like you said, you can do it on your floor, in your bedroom or your kitchen. And, you know, you just need a mat or a towel. And so those little things build that little sense of I've achieved something productive. And it might knock on to, you know, a better food choice for breakfast. Or you might say, I know what, I'm feeling good, I'm going to go food shopping and prep some meals for tomorrow. It's like a little thing can have a big knock on to the rest of the day. And so, yeah, I think that's great. I think what you're doing is brilliant. And, you know, you look great for it. So it's obviously working. Twice a day is a bit greedy. Most people have me once a day.
No, twice a day. Twice a day. But I do the 10-minute, I do the 10-minute abs every day. And then I often have you again in my bedroom.
So like a joke with you, you sandwich me between the workout.
I sandwich you. Yeah, I absolutely do. And there's another trainer as well that I follow online, and Caroline. And I love the idea of you and Caroline doing something together. I think you should.
I've seen videos of it. It's Caroline Gervan. She's in incredible shape. We've not crossed paths actually, but I do go to Dublin sometimes to the Well Festival in Dublin. So
there we go, you two together. That would
maybe
be awesome.
So you must know every single word in that workout, word for word. Can you preempt it and talk to me sort of thing virtually?
I do. And there's a 7-minute one as well. And you go, oh, not bad for 8-minute abs. And I always say to you, no, you're doing 7 minutes. I'd like to correct you. Like you can hear me and you put it on there.
Gabby, it's not the one where I fart, is it?
No.
Oh, thank God for that.
Do you fart in one?
Didn't you hear about that?
No.
Oh,
okay,
my,
I missed the farting.
So basically, during like the second or third lockdown, I went live on YouTube.
And, oh, yes! That
you know,
one.
And
yes.
I, you know, and it just before I thought it was, I didn't think it was live. You must have heard they went all around the world.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
okay, you did.
Yes. I thought you meant, was I hearing you fart every day? But that was in lockdown.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Everyone went mad about that.
Yeah, it was a bit embarrassing. But I thought, when I owned up
laugh.
To it, I thought, I'm going to own it. And it went all around the world, that fart. Yeah. So sometimes, you know, when you're brewing, you've got a bit of a sore tummy, it's coming out. And I thought, I've got to do it before I go live. Because if I do it in the middle of the workout for doing a crunch or, you know, some kind of press up, I'm going to feel very embarrassed. But people needed a laugh. They needed a good, it was a proper good belly laugh.
So how is your mental health at the moment? How, you know, if you, because you've had some really tough times, and I know you're the first person second person that's been on this podcast twice. So it's an absolute joy. But you talked very openly about your childhood. And I think it was one of the first times you did. And there was a lot of pick up afterwards and people chatting about that. But now, how do you feel? I mean, you've got 3,000 children now.
Almost, yeah. Yeah. Three kids.
You've got three. How are you feeling in you?
Yeah, it's a lovely question. It's nice for you to ask, because I obviously reach out to so many people, and it is nice when a stranger reaches out and says, how are you doing? You know, what are you up to, and how's your mental health? Because I am very open. You know, even this morning, I woke up feeling a bit down, you know, what's going on in the media, and it does affect me as a parent, especially with young kids, you know. So I'm trying to navigate through that, really, because when you are on social media, there's a pressure for you to be commenting on everything that's going on in the world. And if you don't, they think that you don't care. And that's so untrue, because I really do care. But yeah, you know, it affects me. And so I try not to consume the mainstream media too much. But with social media, it's there, isn't it, every single day when you wake up. And so I'm trying my best to have the first sort of 15 minutes to half an hour of the day where I just don't look at my phone. You know, use an alarm clock, don't look at the phone. And that's helping me. That's one of the things I talk about in the book. But, you know, I can detach from social media. Although I'm very addicted to my phone, I'm very addicted to social media. I am able to sort of at the weekend say to Rosie, let's just leave our phones in the car, spend a couple of hours going to Richmond Park or going to the farm, and just really removing myself from it and not being contactable, which is quite nice, because it's a nice time for my brain to kind of relax and feel unstressed. But yeah, I'm good. Mainly the exercise anchors me, I think. It's the daily exercise that brings me back to that feeling present and feeling like I can control one thing, which is how I feel, you know, in the moment. But yeah, do you know what I mean? Do you feel that sometimes?
I do. You know, but
it's overwhelming, isn't it?
But it's lovely to hear that from you, because I've spoken to you when you're not feeling like that, and I love you for your honesty. But also, I think that you know who you are now.
In what sense do you mean?
Well, because I think you thought you, a lot of the time, you were there for everybody else. And you were, you especially through the pandemic, there was pressure on you. You know, it was, you have to put out the workouts. You have to be there for everybody. You have to make everybody feel good. You have to, you know, and your recipes and blah, blah. But now I feel like you know who you are, that you're a dad, that you're a husband, that you work hard, that you do stuff for charity. You do all of these things. But I get the feeling that you know who, that you're you now, that yeah, you found you.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some truth in that, because I think I've definitely learned to find peace with not being able to respond to every single person that messages me, and to accept that's okay. Because if I send 10 voice notes today that makes 10 people feel good, that's enough. Whereas before, like, especially during the documentary when I filmed that, I was going to bed at night thinking, people are reaching out to me and I can't open their messages, I can't get back to them. It was like this feeling of they're slipping through the net, and who's going to help them? But I've got boundaries now with the phone. Like, I'm really good at night time. I leave the phone downstairs.
Really?
Yeah, because
that's good.
If I don't, it's like I'm on it and I'll be in bed and I'm watching TV and I've got the phone. So for me, the biggest change in my life, I think, for that was leaving the phone downstairs, so that when I wake up in the middle of the night for a wee, I'm not picking up the phone and scrolling and watching Instagram reels and replying to people in other parts of the world. So it was a big step for me, and it's got easier. But the morning time I find harder, because when I wake up, like, there's this unbelievable urge and like a temptation to just find the phone. Like, my brain's looking for the dopamine. It's seeking, like, right, I've got to plug in. I've got to see what's happening. I've got to read the messages. So that's why one of the health hacks is, you know, can you spend just 15 minutes, the first 15 minutes of the day, without your phone? And for a lot of people, that's difficult. And some days I do it, and some days 15 seconds later, I'm on my phone.
You try. Yeah. Yes, you tried, and you're being honest about it as well. And the food thing as well. You were, I mean, that's sort of how it all started as well, the food and the working out. So in here, you've got 15-minute recipes. And that, I really like that, because the amount of times, because I go on about health and nutrition all the time, been studying it since Dad had bowel cancer 27 years ago. And when I talk about making fresh food, people say, how do you have the time? I go, it doesn't have to take ages. And there you are saying you can do stuff in 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of always been the promise around my recipes. If you think back to the very wacky Lean 15 videos. Yeah. So not a lot of people know this. They think it's because it was in 2015, but it was nothing to do with that. It was because it was a 15-second video, because all you could post was 15 seconds. So 15-second video, 15-minute meal, and that became Lean 15. And I always think the time promise of that short amount of time is quite appealing to people, because we are busier than ever. And even then, like, 15 minutes felt like didn't feel like a long time now. And even today, it's less, you know, people are like, they're more stressed and they've got less time. So I thought, go back to that principle of few ingredients, nice and quick, you know, few shortcuts with the microwave and, you know, one pan wonders sort of thing. And it is the way I cook, you know, it is, because I've got three kids, and when they're hungry, and they come in from
Dad,
a long day. Yeah,
Dad.
You know, they're like, they want to eat. So I think it is, it's just that simplicity of it. And I think that's why my book's done so well, because it was a guy learning to cook in real time with my audience and sharing them and hanging out the window and being a bit of a nutter when people walk past. Remember, I used to hang out the window and go,
yes.
And that right there is Lean in 15. It was mad. And I find it hard to watch them back. I cringe. But
no, don't cringe. Never do that. Because, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and people say, oh, do you ever, and I've decided not, I didn't finish any sentence then, I didn't finish a line I was saying, but I knew what I was talking about. Don't go back and do that, because you just think those bits all made you where you are now, which is what I said before, is I feel like you know who you are now, Joe.
Yeah, it definitely cut through the noise. And yeah, I think I've gone on the journey, you know, when I was the early days, it was just about fat loss and losing weight and transformation. But yeah, I've gone on a journey because I understand human behavior a lot more now. You know, when I started out, it was me running a boot camp, sharing videos on Instagram. You know, the Body Coach app, we've had almost 1 million people come through the 90-day plan and now the Body Coach app. So you think of all the conversations I've had, all the transformations I've seen, and it always starts from a position of people want to lose weight and change how they look, but it's not what keeps them going. It's the mental health benefits. It's how they find work easier. They find relationships improve. They're more confident and they're more patient. These are the things that truly bring you back to exercise, right? It's not always going to be trying to look good in the mirror and being lean. Like, we're never going to be able to maintain that forever. But if you can tap into the mental health benefits and really want to feel good, then you can actually, I think, keep it up all year round.
I'm just going to pour some tea. So we're not having a wee. Go on.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. it might sound like we're having a wee on. No, we're not.
So you must be really interested in the whole, like, you know, the gut health and all this science.
Oh, big time.
It seems to be a new thing, but have you been studying that for literally
for 20 years?
Yeah, you've been way ahead of the time.
Years and years, because my dad had bowel cancer. And I used to go to bed, and I still do a lot. I read medical papers about health and nutrition and movement, working out, whatever you want to call it. And they're also interrelated. And I remember banging on about gut health years ago, and people were, oh, what do you know? You've got, and it's just because I haven't got letters after my name, but I love it. I'm passionate about it. Absolutely passionate. And that's, but it's got to be accessible for everybody.
Yeah.
Got to be accessible.
I just read a book recently and it's blown my mind called Ultra Processed People. Have you read that book?
Oh my God. Processed food. There's a whole other conversation then.
But it talks about gut health and how it affects, you know, chronic disease and illness, and also, you know, depression and anxiety, things that we all sort of know that when you eat junk food, you feel a bit naff, but you don't really know the science behind it, but it truly does connect to the brain and give you feelings of anxiety and depression. You can eat yourself into those emotions. And so that's been a learning curve. And I think, you know, what I've realised is you can't be someone always banging on about the problem. You've got to be a solution-based kind of person where you're like, this is the reality. We're never going to live a life without ultra-processed foods, but you can reduce it by 10%, 15%. You can switch things in your kids' lunchboxes. There's little things you can do, and then we can take back some of that ownership around the food we eat.
And have treats, because that's why they're called treats.
Exactly,
have them every so often. You know, you do. I bet you do. And I know you have days where you've told me before where you have days where you just want to eat rubbish and you just don't want to work out and you don't beat yourself up about it.
Well, last night I went to, I got to see a little premiere of BBC Planet Earth. It was amazing. And on the way there, I had a bag of those like gummy kitten things and a little box of chocolate truffles. And I loved it. And I was enjoying every single one. And I'd done the whole lot. But this morning, woken up, I'm bloated. My tummy's hurting. Like, I don't wake up feeling, oh, I feel guilty, but I physically feel the impact of these
foods. But you know what to do about it.
And so today, I'm taking a bit of a chill. I'm going to, you know, have a fast for a few hours and give my digestive system a little bit of rest. But, you know, it's just kind of being aware and trying to be a positive role model, but also understanding the complexities of income and where we live, the food choices, the environment set up to basically like hunt us and target us with these ads to buy these products that we think are healthy and they're not, you know. And so it's kind of what I've learned from all the books I'm reading is, do you know what you got to do? It's really simple, but it's obviously challenging, is cook more. Just cook more, like make your porridge in the morning, take a little chicken salad to lunch and, you know, protect yourself from the world we live in, which is ultra processed foods at every single petrol station and hospital and vending machine. And so, you know,
and they're right there by the tills. So people are tempted. They think, oh, look, and some of them say healthy alternative. Maybe not always. Well, sometimes.
One of the podcasts I listened to with that, the author of that book, his name's Chris Van Tulleken. He said,
he's phenomenal, Chris.
He said, anything that says healthy or added this or fortified with this goes, it's usually not food and it's usually ultra processed and it's not really good for you. So yeah, you know, it's a powerful marketing
the message. I love the way you're talking about somebody else's book. Your book is very good too, but yeah, I completely agree with you. Chris is just so
I probably do what you do in a sense that you take the science and like you take the bigger picture and you try and break it into a smaller digestible bit of content. And so we're in the book, it's just about, you know, and I've been saying this for 9 years. Remember, I used to say prep like a boss. Prep like a boss means make a big batch of overnight oats or make a big bolognese, put a bit in the fridge. When you come home tomorrow, you cook a little bit of pasta for 10 minutes and you've got a nice healthy meal for you and the kids again. So that, I've always been saying it, but now there's the science to kind of understand and explain why. I'm saying the same thing, just slightly differently each time.
So when you start your book, it's pretty cool. So on the cover, Joe Wicks, number one best-selling author. Does that look at the smile? I love that. When I said that, the big smile on your face. I mean, so when you think of another book, is it you that thinks of it, or is the wonderful, lovely publishers at HQ? Do they say, oh, you know what? Why don't you do this? Or is it you? Do you go in and go, hey, I've got this idea?
I'm not a big like forward planner, so I don't think, right, I've got a book for like next year and I've got the title and a TV show plan, because I don't really do traditional like TV and that sort of media, but I do.
You've got your own TV, you've got Body Coach TV.
I do YouTube and Instagram, and I think, I don't know, it's sort of going with the times. What do people want to be seeing and hearing? And I think, you know, quick food that's going to make you feel good and also, you know, on a budget is kind of what people want at the moment. So
nobody's got any money. You can't.
Yeah, and the title stems from my previous book, which is called Feel Good Food. And this is obviously Feel Good in 15, because it's much more than just the food. And I think the book's got 60 recipes and the workouts, but it's all the added bonus content around how you can actually be a happier fan. You know, like, I talk about things like valuing your partner and finding time to have time with the kids and but story time. Like, these things change how you feel. Like, when you read books to your kids in bed, you know, it releases oxytocin and, like, you feel better, you sleep better. And so it's little things that some people just don't think about because they're so busy, you know. So it's like, I'm trying to share all these little positive little golden nuggets
and,
that make a difference.
And talking as a family when you're eating, there's nothing, that's a social, that's what people did before there were telephones. They talking, all sat around and talked.
Talking at dinner is such a lovely thing because, you know, I think everyone rushes for everyone's always rushing, you know, rushing the school run, rushing to get to work. But when it comes to dinner time, even if you do it once a week or two nights a week, you sit as a family, you have a chat, you know, put your phones away, don't watch TV. These things, you might think, well, that's, well, how's that going to affect my mental health, my mood? But it helps you connect to your partner, you know, what's going on and how are your kids feeling? And you all go to bed a little bit happier and you wake up feeling a little bit more positive and connected. And so these things are human interaction moments that actually do have an impact. It really does, because otherwise you can be living in a house with a family of people and no one's really close, no one's really talking, everyone's got issues going on, and you just kind of, the communication breaks down. And so I try to lead by example, things like cooking as a family, you know, going, you know, doing, I keep saying, like, non-screen activities, which is like going in the garden. We go in the garden and we play hide and seek, or we find
lovely stuff. Love, but it,
we find pebbles and we paint them, you know.
Lovely.
These are things that really calm you down, like, because if you're a child who wants to play the PlayStation and watch crazy, like, cartoons on Disney Plus, your brain's moving really quick. But when you do something a bit more mindful, like playing like Dobble or Uno or doing a bit of colouring, that really slows you down, it calms you down. And so I try to encourage those sort of things for even if you haven't got kids, you know, put out a Lego set or do some painting. Like, it's good.
Do you know what I did last week? So I haven't done it since my GCSEs. And I did pottery. But I went all these years later and I found a studio and I went on the potter's wheel and I threw two pots.
That's amazing. My mum and Rosie done that a few days ago as a birthday present for each other.
Yeah, it was. But also, when I was 16, well, you know, from younger to 16 when I finished doing it, I never appreciated being in the moment of it. I loved being artistic and I loved creating things. But actually, just sitting there on the potter's wheel, I cannot tell you I felt bliss.
Did you nail it? Was it all wobbly and going like that?
I'll show you afterwards. I'll show you some pictures. No, because it was weird. Because I remembered how to do it. It was like getting on a bike. I remembered how to throw a pot. I made two pots.
Is that the term, throw a pot?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Rosie, a bit naughty, they ended up making a penis.
Many people do.
They did a pot and it all went wrong and they ended up just making a penis.
Did you know what the teacher said to me? She said, do you know what ends up? Everybody makes a penis. I went, I didn't! I made two bowls! And then I felt I'd missed out a bit.
Yeah.
Did she bring the penis home for you?
No, I think just one of them, they all tried, but it all went flopped and a bit flaccid. So in the end, the guy that was doing the actual lesson made it and gave it to one of the girls. It was her birthday, but it was like a fun girls' day out with Rosie and my mum.
What, the guy that was doing with the pottery teacher made a hard penis?
He made like the perfect penis,
right,
and gave it to her as a birthday present.
Yes. Actually, that's probably better. Perfect penis sounds better than the way I just put it. Yeah, we'll have to put a warning on this podcast. Okay, so right, we're sitting here. What can we do right now? So anybody sitting here listening... Okay, so obviously buy the book. That's a done deal. Done. But sitting here or sitting on the tube or wherever they are listening to this, at home, going for a walk, what can they do to suddenly feel better physically? Can you do any sort of exercise just like on the tube? I came here on the tube. It was so stressful. Not for me, for everybody else. I say hello to everybody. Drives everybody mad. But you could, it got stuck in the tunnel and everyone was getting really, really stressed. So I started talking to people. But can you do anything to get yourself fitter? Can you do any core thing just sitting? What can we do? Let's do it.
Well, you look a bit bonkers maybe on a train, but again,
I don't mind.
I mean, a simple thing that is a bit more kind of covert is just some deep breaths, you know, to kind of channel the breathing. But if I was going to do a movement, what would I do? Well, I mean, you can just lift your knees up. If you lift your knee above your waist, you'll feel your abs engage a little bit. So you're sort of just like marching knees.
Yep.
Do you know what? It looks like you're about to do a fart, doesn't it?
It does look, yes.
People are going to go, what's she up to?
Are we doing it now? Okay, so, and what else?
So a little marching on the spot. I know me and you've got a dodgy shoulder, but we'll try and do some arm circles. So big arm circles.
Big arm circles on the tube or wherever you are, walking in the park.
This one's a bit clicky because I've got a little tear in my shoulder.
We've both got clicky shoulders. Okay, so that. And how about a twist?
Yeah, you can do a little twist, just sort of rotate. rotate left and right.
Twist.
You might feel a few clicks. Twist.
Come on. Look at them behind the glass. They're not doing it. Come on.
Come on, follow along, guys.
There we are. Oh, they're doing it now. That's what we like to see.
All it's right, a little bit strict. It's a bit of a Strictly Come Dancing one, that one, isn't it?
So you do. So you've done. God, they go on about you and Strictly, don't they?
Every year, a story runs up. Joe Wicks is doing Strictly, and I've never, ever, even had a conversation with him. It's my worst nightmare to do that because I'm not confident. I'm not a confident dancer. But
no, thanks.
Every year it's like Joe Wicks is doing it, and then.
But you do Children in Need. So you do this year. It's finished, obviously, but you did the burpees.
Yeah, the burpee challenge, which is fun. I like if I'm going to be on TV, I want to be on there. Actually doing something that I believe in, like talking about the mission, and I do get a bit self-conscious on TV. I'm not like desperately trying to be on there. So when I am there, I want to be talking about the food, you know, the mental health and the fitness type of thing. And so to be dancing in a leotard, you know, for me, like, and to do it live in front of millions of people, like, oh,
thank you.
So nervous.
You're the only person.
I thought you've done reality.
No,
have you never done any of those shows?
No, I won't do Strictly. I love dancing and I'll happily dance in the street. Right now, I'll run out in the street and jump around and music and everything. But don't put me on a Saturday night. I'd be more too. I'm too shy.
Yeah, I'm the same.
I'm far too shy.
Look, I will have a dance. If I go out with my mates and I've had a few drinks, I'll have a dance. But I need someone next to me or like, I need Rose with me. So I've got like that sort of, you know, that little buffer, that comfort blanket. But when they spin you out and you're like on the other side of the dance floor on your own, so exposed, that for me is like, I would just cave. I wouldn't
The amount of stuff that's written about you and all the reality shows. Joe Wicks is definitely booked for Strictly. Joe Wicks in the jungle. Joe Wicks SAS, who dares, you know, everything. And I love the idea that you just go, no, I'm just...
Yeah, and also like, the only one I consider doing, but I then go, I just hate being cold and hungry, is the SAS one. I think physically I'd like the challenge of that, but I don't like being away from the kids too long. Even I was away in Ireland for 4 nights and I'm there and I'm doing it. But if they were with me, I'd be much happier. Do you know what I mean? But I couldn't drag them around for like 4 days across Ireland. But I just don't think I'd ever like just disappear to the jungle for 3 weeks. Because, you know, when you're just like thinking, why am I here? What am I really here for? And I'd be missing the kids every day.
You and Rosie, you're special together, aren't you? You two.
Well, thank you. You know, when I met Rose, I was 30. And like, you know, I've always thought like, how do you know you're in love and how do you know you're with the right person? But I've just been best mates of her and I haven't wanted to separate from her ever since. So I think it's one of those relationships where we parent the same. You know, she wanted to be a primary school teacher as a kid and I wanted to be a teacher kid. So when we're with our children, we enjoy teaching. We enjoy that, you know, and we're homeschooling India now. So she was at school for a year. But we just love being a family unit. I think it's like the happiest time for us to be together. So, you know, that was the only option for us at the moment. I'm not sure it's forever, but at the moment we're going to just homeschool Indy, see how we get on with that.
But also, don't listen to what other people say. This is a decision that you two have taken together. Just like you say, we don't know what's going to happen. That's how we're doing it right now, and we're happy.
Yeah, I just wanted to see how it goes. And we just, you know, we have so much fun and traveling. You know, I could take so many more opportunities and be filming this and doing more TV and more shows, but I need to have those breaks where I slow down, because otherwise I'm going to look around, my kids are going to be 18, and I'm going to say, you know what, I miss that.
Yes,
you know?
Trust me, I've got a 22-year-old and a 16, and I swear my 22-year-old, 2 weeks ago, she was 8.
Yeah, the years seem to fly. Indy's 5 now, and I'm so lucky I've been there, I've been present, but I still like think, where's the time gone? You know, like years just seem to go by, so I'm really conscious of that, because I don't ever want to get to a point where I have built this career, but I regret missing certain things and certain moments of my children's life. So I'm really working towards that, trying to engineer my life so that I can be present as much as possible, but still be successful and still help people and do that along the way.
So I'm going to go back to what I said earlier when I said I think that you know who you are now. If you were 12 years old looking at you now, would you, what on earth would you think? What would you say?
Yeah, you know what? When you get asked that question, you always think, what was I like back then? And that when I was a teenager, like the 12 to sort of 16, I was at my most, probably my most angry and resentful, because my dad's at the time, the drugs. When you're a kid, you don't really know what's going on. But when you get to that age, you're like, you realise and you know what's happening. And so the constant disappointment of relapsing and him being clean and being present, and we had the family, and then he was gone. And it was like, I was angry. So I was disruptive. I was just, you know, very distracted at school. And people would have said, you know, he's going to end up down that same path. Like, he's going to hang out with the wrong kids. He'll pick up weed. He'll start drinking. He'll probably go down that path and in crime and drinking drugs. But I never did. I was so frightened of it. You know, I was so frightened that if I drank, I'd become an addict. Or if I picked up drugs, I'd be like my dad. So it definitely just scared me. And I'd be really proud of myself looking Well, I am proud of myself, you know.
Good.
And also, I'm really proud of myself. And also, I'm like, I don't have that imposter thing because I think, like, I came out of that. I'm a product of that environment, but I really made decisions that were the right thing for me as a teenager. I got into fitness. You know, when I was 16 and I got my first job at Wilkinson's in Epsom, RIP Wilco's, they've gone under now, haven't they? Bless them. But I loved it. I worked on the till. I used to get £80 a week and I used £50 a month of that to join Holmes Place Gym in Epsom. And so when I was 16, I was already in the gym trying to look after myself, trying to stay fit, trying to look after my mental health versus, you know, my friends that were down the park smoking and drinking and stuff. So I think I made those decisions. It was my choice. And so I'm really glad that I really chose a different path from a young age. And along the way, like, I've managed to use all that energy that I've got for it, you know, for my genuine love for movement and getting people moving. And
great.
And there you go. And now I've, like, you know, I've become, like, you know, the body coach and I've helped all these people because...
And a number one best-selling author.
Yeah, I still can't believe the books because, you know, with the books...
Believe it. It's here. There it is. It says the number one best-selling author. Feel good in 15.
I know. And if anyone's listening that's got one of the books, thank you, because I, you know, I didn't plan on having books. I just love sharing recipes on Instagram and I found it quite funny throwing it in the pan and sharing it on Instagram. It was never an idea of, like, I'm going to get a book deal. It just wasn't there. It didn't exist that back then.
Oh, it's wonderful. Listen, I only wish you... more and more love and more and more. I love the way you're smiling now. You're smiling differently than you have. Like I said, I think you can just see you're happy.
Oh, what a lovely thing to say.
What a wonderful thing.
It's really nice. And yeah, I hope you've enjoyed our chat. Because
I love chatting to you every time.
You've always been so supportive. And I wish you best of luck with everything you're doing.
Oh, bless
you.
And
your lovely book
as well. We're going to go out now and we're going to do a quick something in the street. We're going to flash mob everybody and we'll put it on our socials. Don't know what we're going to do, but it will probably end up with me laughing a lot and... you going, I don't know, let's see.
I'm up for it. As an experiment, let's see if we can, like, round up a few people to, like, do some star jumps.
Okay,
on the spot.
Right, we'll do that. Done.
Let's go.